Thank you. Wasn't that awesome? All right. Well, let's do this. How many of you enjoyed Logan's message last week? How many of you were here for Logan's message and enjoyed it? Wasn't it a great message? I'll never look at Toy Story the same. And it was so cool because even my kids, my teenage and adult kids and teenagers that are in the youth group, they started calling each other Stinky Pete as an insult, you know? Don't be a Stinky Pete. And so they're still thinking about the message during the week and referring to that message. And so it was really awesome. Let's hear it for Logan. He did such a good job. But he did something last week that I really appreciated and liked. And I know that you guys know we have been doing something called a call and response. It's that ancient Christian tradition that we threw away and ought not have, where when we read the Bible, we stand and we venerate the Bible. And there's a very ancient and simple way to do that. I really like the way Logan did it, and so we're going to do that again until the Lord lets us not do it. So I'd like you to do this. Stand up on your feet, just so that you know what to expect. I'm going to read the scripture, and after I read the scripture, I will declare, "This is the word of the Lord." And then you guys will say, "Praise be to God," and then we'll get into the message. Are you ready? Let's read the scripture. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. "I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." This is the word of the Lord. Now let's pray. Father, we come before you today in Jesus' name. Thank you for your precious, holy, written word. Thank you that it is your word that's a lamp unto our feet, that it's your word that's a light unto our path. And we thank you that it's your spirit that's our teacher today. That I'm a vessel for pouring, and these, your sheep, are vessels for receiving your word from your spirit. Give us the grace to be doers of your word and not hearers only, so that we can be blessed by what we receive from you today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said? Amen. Okay, you can be seated now. So, we're in a series called Relationship Renovation. And so, if you'll remember, just by way of review, Pastor Lee came and he spoke to us about love. You know, there's a God kind of love and there's a love that's in the world. But God is love, and so if we want to love like God loves, we have to learn it from God. And then we talked about patience, remember? And specifically, patience in words. We're going off of the what I would call the tagline of the series. Pastor Jacob says it like this: strong relationships are built on love, grow with patience, deepen through forgiveness, and are sustained by humility. Okay? And so we did. We talked about love. We talked about patience, specifically with words. Now, I'm going to be transparent and honest with you. I'm not up here preaching myself. You guys know that. I don't preach me. We preach Jesus. But this is one of those series, and especially this message today. I'm really glad that Melissa's in kids, because I don't want to have to look at her or have look her in the eye, because I feel like the biggest hypocrite in the world up here teaching this, because I struggle with this. Right? But that, again, if you don't... If you're not preaching to yourself when you're preaching, I don't know, you might be doing something wrong. Are you with me? And so just bear with me, because I'm gonna choke on this a little bit as I teach it, but I need to hear it. I almost felt like, Pastor Jacob, are you watching inside my house? What's going on here? You ever get one of those? I'm like, ooh, that's not good. All right, well, ooh, that's not good either. Now, ooh, God. So you have to, we're talking about humility. Today we're talking about humility, okay? Humility, in the world, humility is, you know, I'm nothing, I'm nobody, right? It's a low view of yourself. It's thinking less of yourself. I like this quote by C.S. Lewis. He said, "Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less." right? And so for strong, healthy relationships to be maintained over a long period of time, they have to be sustained by our hearts, like what Calvin was saying. Our hearts have to remain humble. So let's talk about what humility is and what it isn't, okay? Let's define, we're following rules of biblical interpretation, right? So we gotta define the word, right? By humility, what the Bible means is, and let me use a scripture kind of as an illustration. The Bible says in James, it says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So how do you get to be humble? Well, he told you how. Submit. If you submit to God, then you're humble. So if you look up that word submit, my instructor, Doug Jones, calls it the humility three-step, because the word submit in that word gives you a picture of humility. The word submit means to retire, to withdraw, hence to yield. See the humility two-step or three-step there? To retire, to withdraw, hence to yield. Right? I retire from my way. I withdraw from my way, and I yield to his way. It's a two-step process there. I retire from my way. I withdraw from my way, and I yield to God's way. Yeah. Right? So humility isn't, I'm not thinking of myself at all, and I just, my world revolves around your wants and your desires and your needs. That's not humility either, right? A lot of times in the world, or even in the church, we will use humility and become like a doormat. But Jesus wasn't a doormat, but he was humble, right? And Moses wrote the scripture that says that he was the humblest guy. And it was the word of God. It wasn't a lie. Moses wrote about himself in the book about him that he was the most humble guy on the face of the earth. So you can, it doesn't mean that you think less of yourself. It doesn't mean that you think little of yourself. What it means is you think more of what God says than you do of what you think. So you retire from your way. You withdraw from your way. You yield from your way to God's way. Pastor Jacob says it like this: humility is not being self-oriented, which will look like being self-absorbed, putting yourself at the center of your life and every conversation, putting your wants, your needs, your desires at the center of your life, but it's also not being others-oriented either. Humility is being God-centered, putting his wants, his needs, his desires at the center of our lives, which will make us conscious and mindful of others. Because God is love. Are you with me? So it's not arrogance, but it's not insecurity either. It's peaceful confidence that what God says is true. His word is true, right? And his way is the best way. Not my way, your way. Your way is the best way. Are you with me? So now I'm going to start to meddle. Now that we've defined it, what is humility? I retire from my way, I withdraw from my way, and I yield to God's way. That is humility. We've defined it now, right? So let's look at this, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Watch this now. Okay. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord. There we go. Yes. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort. Nope, that's not right. Yeah, it is. If you've gotten anything out of if you've gotten anything out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Right? I'm retiring from my way. I'm withdrawing from my way. What I want, what I think, what I feel is not on the throne of my life. Do I have desires? Yes. But there's a God way and a man way to fulfill those desires. And if I go with the God way, I'm going to be blessed. If I go with my way, the Bible says there's a way that seems right to man, but the end of that way is destruction. Are you with me? So now that we've got that nailed down, we've got humility nailed down, there are some practices that develop humility. Repentance, you can't repent without humility because you have to admit that you did something wrong. Repentance means to think differently afterward or to change your intention. Even when we talk about confession, like when you confess your sins, the word confess, it literally says, it means to say the same as. It means to say the same as God. You recognize I'm out of line with what you say about this, and repentance means I'm changing my intention and coming back into line with what you say about this. That's confession. So it takes humility. Are you with me? Hidden acts of service. Not just acts of service, right? Because you can do the right thing for the wrong reason, it's still wrong. Are you with me? We're talking about heart things. We're going to get into the relationship stuff, and I'm going to put some handles on it, but we got to hammer down what we're talking about. The context of humility is retire from my way, withdraw from my way, yield to God's way. God's way is the best way. And it seems easy on the front of it, but when I get into what I'm talking about today, it's not going to be easy. It's never been easy for me. Hidden acts of service, generosity, gratitude. It takes humility. This last week, I have had to be, is there anybody else here that you love to jump into trenches with people and help them, but it's very hard for you to receive and accept help? Yeah. Almost every man in here, right? Yeah, I'll help you out. You need help? No, I got this, man. And it takes humility. Because when you're used to being in charge of everything and knowing everything and having all the answers and you're not in charge of anything and you don't know anything, you don't have any of the answers, that's hard. That's tough. Are you with me? But it takes humility. You have to develop humility. And here's the last one. And this is, so you're going to get uncomfortable. Here we go. Listening. We're talking about relationships, right? Listening. It takes humility to serve each other by listening. Are you with me? Here's why. Listen, the deepest needs of the human heart are to be seen, to be known. And you can't do that without being heard. Right? Are you with me? Don't get uncomfortable now. The deepest need, fellas, the deepest need of your wife isn't the house, the car. The deepest need of your wife, your spouse, is to be seen and known. Heard. Are you with me? But it takes humility, God's way, not my way, in order to listen correctly. Listening works kind of like this. There are like three gears. It's like riding a bike. I love this illustration Pastor Jacob used. It's like gears on a bicycle. First gear, it'll get it started, but you can't stay there long or it'll start to grind. It'll rev your engine high and it'll blow. Are you with me? But first gear is listening to respond. Right? We all do that. You're not really listening to hear their heart or see what's going on in them. How many arguers do we have here? Like to argue their point. Debaters, right? Love that, right? But I'm right. Well, you can be right and still be wrong. Are you with me? Am I being too transparent, guys? I just got up here in front of you and said I feel like a hypocrite, all right? So I'm not throwing stones. I'm telling you I learned this stuff by mistake. Are you with me? You know why? Because I think I know everything. Right? And so do you. by the way. I'm just willing to tell you and be vulnerable about it. I think I know everything. Half the time I'm listening to Melissa, I'm thinking, yeah, you just wait. I got a retort for that. I'm going to knock that right. I'm going to blow holes in that argument. And it's not even about, it's not if I would have just stopped and listened. And I'm not listening. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. So listening to respond, right? Watch this now. All right, we're going to go to Proverbs 18:13. Whoever gives an answer before he listens is stupid and shameful. That's in the Bible. See it? Answering before listening is both stupid and rude. Oh, I used to get so mad at Melissa. I'm so glad she's not in here. It's all right. I'll behave because Angela's in here. So I've got a chaperone. I can't get too far out of line. I used to get so mad at Melissa because I would say, and she'd be like, there's no need. That was rude. You're being rude. And I'm like, what do you mean? You're my wife. I'm not rude. I'm just expressing myself. How much more polite should you be to the love of your life? A lot of times when you think you know everything, you don't know quite as much as you think you do. But you learn that by mistake. So am I telling on myself enough, guys? Right? It takes humility to look at yourself in the mirror. I have to look at myself in the mirror all the time and say, you're full of it. You don't know what you're talking about. Shut up. Listen. It's not fun. But when I do listen, so here's the thing. When you're listening to respond, you're focused on the point. You're focused on the information. But there's no connection. You're not listening for the heart. Because there's what's being said, and there's why it's being said. So you can hear somebody. That's why, thank you, Lord Jesus. Doesn't the Holy Spirit say, and the scripture say, he that has an ear to hear, let him listen. Right? That's what that means. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear. There's hearing, and then there's hearing. Right? And so listening to respond, it creates this antagonism that actually creates distance in a relationship. Are you with me? And so that's the wrong thing, especially in an argument. I'll do some argument fixing for you if you'll let me. I'll help you how to get through an argument and actually have resolution at the end of the disagreement. Listen, in my experience, limited as it is, I would say 90% of marriage is managing differences. Male-female differences, personality differences, wants, wishes, and desires that are different. 90% of that is you navigating how to stay one, although you're different. And if you do it in love, if you allow love to humble you and walk in love, because that's what God says, to love your wife, to love your husband, right? And to walk in the God kind of love. So when you choose his way and not your way, you get his result. Which, by the way, fellas, it was God's idea to put both of them naked in a garden outside. That was God's idea. Are you with me? He wanted them together. He wanted them frolicking and having fun. That's his design. Are you with me? You can have a very happy, very peaceful home if you just get past yourself. A lot of times you're like, I don't understand why things aren't working out the way I want them to. And it's because you're trying to work them out instead of retiring from your way, withdrawing from your way, and yielding to God's way. And you might be right, and she might be wrong. But if you miss her heart, you can be right on the point and wrong in the relationship. Are you with me? I don't want to be right. I want to be one. I don't want to be right. I want to be one. Does that make sense? All right. So we don't listen to respond. So then what's the second gear then? Second gear is when we move past that and we listen to understand, right? On this level, we are listening to understand. We're open to what they have to say. I haven't decided I'm smarter than you, so I'm going to listen to what you say and I'm going to have my say. I'm listening because maybe I don't know where she's coming from, right? How many times do we assume, oh, he's saying that because this happened? And so you go into the conversation with a preconceived notion about their intent, about their motivation, an assumption about their motivation, but you're not open that they might actually have a point or be right. Right? We're really bad about wanting to control others. All of us are, not just me, but especially extroverts or people that like to talk a lot, people that are very outspoken, like the sound of their own voice. Right? We know those people. I had Wally Schatz, one of my dearest friends in the world, one day just looked at me. It was the kindest and friendliest thing that he's probably ever done for me. Made me a better person, made me a better pastor. He just one day stopped me. It was years ago. Wasn't recently, but it was years ago. Because I used to be really bad at interrupting people. If I had something to say and you were talking, I would talk right over you and say what I had to say. And one day, Wally just looked at me and went, are you going to let me finish? And I went, I'm going to let you finish, but, and he was like, no, you keep interrupting me, like, and you do it all the time. Please stop. And I was like, holy crap. I interrupt him all the time. So I started paying attention to it, and I realized anytime I had something to say or something to add to the conversation, I would just sit. Because obviously what I had to say is more important than what you have to say, right? And there's a pride, that's not humility. There's a pride in that. Are you with me? That's bad for your relationship. It's bad for any relationship. A lot of people that complain about their boss isn't the problem. Oftentimes, they think they know more than him. They're not open. They're not listening to understand what he's trying to say. They're not open for him to have an opinion that's different than theirs. They think they are right and he is wrong and they know better how to do it than him. And what does he know anyway? And they struggle at that job. But the Bible says, remember, retire from my way, withdraw from my way, yield to God's way. The Bible says work is unto the Lord and not as unto men. So it doesn't matter. You said you were going to work the job. You're working there for God, just like you were working for God here if you're working here. And so you do your best no matter what. You do what they ask you. You submit. You pray for God to fill in the gaps, and you walk in love. And you will have a successful and happy career. And God will either open doors of opportunity for you there because you're doing it his way, or he will open a door somewhere else and give you something better because you're doing it his way, and he can bless his way, right? Well, that man's never going to change. He's never going to change because you can't change him with your never going to change him. Are you with me? You listen to understand. All right. Look at this, Proverbs 18:2. Fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. Senseless people find no pleasure in acquiring true wisdom, for all they want to do is impress you with what they know. Right? When we listen to understand, we're being willing to hold our attachments, our judgments, very loosely, and we have to be mindful of what goes on. The chatter between our ears is what Pastor Jacob calls it, but I like to, again, it's those assumptions. We make these little assumptions when we're listening to somebody, right? So when you're having a difficult conversation with someone and there's a hot subject, right? It's a hot topic. It's a button that they know that they can push. You know that they have pushed it. Everybody has their buttons. Oh, not this again. You have to be careful when you're talking and when you're listening, that you don't prejudge why somebody is saying what they're saying, but listen to understand what they're actually saying. Are you with me? Because if you create a context, the story you're telling yourself in your head about what they're about to say to you or what they are saying to you and the context, so let me prove that to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I can say, every man knows this. Your wife can say, fine. And that can mean, fine. Or it can mean, listen, Jack, you have messed up. Right? It depends on the context. But don't assume the context. You know what I mean? Right? And so again, so here, let me put some handles on this, okay? So if we're gonna talk about these things, then we have to give you handles so that you can use them, right? So how do I do that? We're not listening to respond, we are listening to understand. That's second gear. Here's some tips for doing that. Ask open-ended questions. Right? What does that mean? Ask open-ended questions, not yes or no questions. Get to the bottom of, ask clarifying questions. Are you really fine? If you hear fine, is it fine or is it fine? Ask the next question. Ask the next question. Is it really fine? Are you upset? No, I'm fine. Is that fine or is it fine? That might start a fight, but ask clarifying questions. Like, you say that you're fine, but here's how you handle that. You're saying that it's fine, but the tone of your voice and your body language is telling me a different story. Am I misreading something? Are you with me? Ask clarifying questions. Ask open-ended questions. Right? Does that make sense? So when somebody is talking to you and you're trying to listen to them and they come to you with a problem, instead of assuming why they came to talk to you, ask them, so why did you come to me about this? What made you think that I was angry with you? Well, you did this and you didn't even think about that. Okay, what made you think that I didn't think about this? Start asking questions. Because a lot of times what's being said isn't even the root of what's going on. And you're listening to understand where they're at, but you're listening for their heart. Because the next gear is listening to connect. I like Pastor Jacob says it like this. He says, listen with curiosity, care, and concern. Listen with your heart. If I wish I had a chalkboard up here sometimes. If I could draw a heart on the board back there, and then you write the with English letters, HEART, right? Then put parentheses between the H and the T. What's that spell? Ear. There's an ear in your heart. Listen with your heart. The same way you listen to Jesus with your heart, you should be listening to others with your heart. Because if you listen with your heart, oftentimes compassion is filling their hurt in your heart. Empathy is having concern and care for people. And most of us, we are so busy with our face in our phone and constant feeding our flesh all the information all the time and busy, busy, busy all the time, like Marnie was saying, and we get so self-centered and so self-involved that we're not empathetic to others. Melissa and I have been talking recently just about you never know what someone is going through. You never know. You never know what they're going through. And yeah, they might be snippy at Walmart. Maybe they cut you off in the parking lot. You don't know what they're rushing off to deal with or what they just came from dealing with. You don't know, right? So we listen to understand. And then the third gear, this is the ultimate goal of listening, is to connect. Remember, the main need is to, of every human, is to be known, to feel connected. Are you with me? So we listen for the heart, not just the words. When you listen for the heart and not just the words, it creates safety in the conversation. And your marriage should be a safe place for the both of you. And if communication is breaking down, it's because one or both of you have created an unsafe environment for communication to happen. Ask me how I know. It's supposed to be a safe place for your wife. It's supposed to be a safe place for your kids. It's supposed to be safe. So you can be right and you can prove your point and still be miserable. Because that's not unity. That's uniformity. And a lot of us guys are bad about that. We don't really want unity. We want uniformity, which means you submit to me and we do things my way. The problem with that is that's not God's way. That is a portion of the truth, but it's not the entire truth. The same verse that says, wives, submit to your husbands, says submitting to one another in love. Same verse. It's the previous verse. It's in the same chapter. He says, submitting to one another in love. And then he goes on to explain. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So who did the sacrificing? He did. Are you with me? I know it's not fun. We're not talking about believing for the boat or getting your healing, right? But it's important and we ought to talk about it, right? We got to put handles on these things, man. What good's the boat you believe for if you got to sell it to pay for the divorce lawyer? Come on. That too real? Am I not? Are you with me? In order to create the environment where both of you feel safe, you have to listen with your heart. Here are some tips for doing that. I'm going to put some handles on that too. Well, I'm trying to skip this verse because I don't want to read it because I'm going to be convicted, but we're going to read it anyways. Let's go. Come on, let's all go on this walk together. Let's do it. Mershon, you stop laughing at me. Oh, Mershon, he's so awesome. He came to me at Popsicles in the Park. Do you guys remember the bananas? I got lots of texts about the banana story. How many of you were here for the banana story? I'll tell it again just in case. I've got a minute. I'll close with this. It's great, okay? But this wife buys bananas because she wants to make banana bread for the whole family because they love it. So she buys some bananas, but you know, when you make banana bread, you gotta let them brown up a bit. Well, she came downstairs the next day and the husband had eaten the brown banana. And then he ate the next one and then the next one. So she's like, fine, I don't wanna fight with him. I wanna keep the peace, which is, you're not keeping the peace. You're maintaining distance. That's a facade. Are you with me? That's not keeping the peace. Are you with me? Anyways, so she wants to keep the peace, so she doesn't say anything. Doesn't say anything. She says, I'll just go buy another bunch of bananas. And he can have those, and I'll make banana bread with the other bunch. Well, sure enough, they start to brown up, and he's coming downstairs and eating them. Finally, she gets so frustrated with him, she says, I'm trying to make banana bread and you keep eating all the brown bananas. And he says, oh, thank God, I'm so tired of eating those yucky bananas. I thought I was helping you. I didn't want them to go to waste. What was the problem? She assumed, he assumed, he thought he was helping her. Fellas, I'll say this again. Ask me how I know this. I'm married to a very bright woman and she's very industrious. And I do things all the time. I think, man, I'm really helping her. Make sure that what you're doing actually is helping her. If it makes it harder on her, you're not really helping her at all. Oh, you just want it done your way. No, I want it done the way that I've decided is the right way because that's the way that it works for me. So if you're doing it for her, if you're doing something for somebody else, wouldn't you do it the way they want it done? Or are you still being so selfish that you're like, I'm going to do it my way and give myself a pat on the back for it? It's not humility. I'll start a whole nother season. Ask me how I know, though, because I'm an idiot. I learn from, oh. Are you with me? So in that same vein with the bananas, okay? It's not just what you say. It's how you say it. It's how you say it. Have you ever met someone that's extremely polite, but very rude? Right? Just mean, but very polite about it. Are you with me? I think about, has anybody ever watched that show Frasier Crane? That guy is such a sociopath. Like, he's so neurotic and self-involved, but he's very polite. Are you with me? So watch this now. Here we go. Lord, help me. Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. And let's thank Amaral, too, because I'm jumping all over the place. Let's hear it for Amaral. He's doing a good job. Here we go. Watch this now. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. I'm going to let that sit there for a second because I need to hear it. Dadgum son of a monkey's uncle. That's not a safe place. Right? You can't create an atmosphere and then be mad about the atmosphere that you created. You can't do it. Don't do it. Are you with me? And that goes for you ladies too. Don't create an atmosphere and then be mad about the atmosphere you created. With your husband, with your kids, at work. You are training the people that you are interacting with how they interact with you. Are you with me? But only such is good for building up as fits the occasion that it may give grace. Everybody say grace. Grace to those who hear it. Look at that. Grace. What is grace? Unearned. Undeserved. Unmerited. Favor. And blessing from God. Walking in grace means I forgive you on the front end of it. I want to let love make up the it. Love filling in the gaps. It's not just for when the languages are different. It's even in the same language. Love fills in the gap because she speaks woman and you speak man. They speak kid and you speak adult. Right? They speak world and you speak kingdom. There's always going to be a gap, but love fills in those gaps. Teed it right up there for me. I appreciate that. So in closing, here are some tips for listening to connect. Are you ready? Maintain good eye contact. Be mindful of your posture. Right? If you're speaking with someone, And you're standing in front of them like this. Thank you. Doesn't fit, right? No, I'm hearing you. Yeah, I'm hearing you. Right? Doesn't fit, right? Oh, I'm listening. Or you're not looking at them. I get spitting mad sometimes at Melissa. She'd be like, I'll wait till you're done. And I'm like, no, I'm listening. No, I'll just wait till you're done. Melissa, I'm listening to you. No, you're not. Fine, what? Did I create? Now are we communicating? No. I want to be done with what you're saying so I can get back to what's more important to me than what you're saying. Watch your body. Watch your body language. Watch what you're doing. Go through the doors that they open. Don't push your way in. Right? Even Jesus knocks at the door of your heart, and it belongs to him. Are you with me? And that's funny because a lot of guys that I know, me included, at some point in the past, well, this is my house. My house, my rules. Wait a second. Jesus knocks at the door of his house. Come on now, we've missed something. We've missed it. Are you with me? Okay, so walk through the doors that they open. Listen to the person speaking, not just the words being used. It's who's speaking that matters. It's a person. I just heard the Holy Spirit say, listen to the person, not to the point. It's still a person. Even if the point is wrong, that's a person. Are you with me? We will depersonalize our political opponents. We will depersonalize our theological opponents because we disagree with what they're saying. But they're still a person. They're still one of Jesus's sheep. We ought to remember that. Use silence well to build trust and allow the other person to be vulnerable. It's okay not to fill all the air with your voice. You can just be quiet. Job's friends were amazing friends until they opened their mouths. Are you with me? And so in conclusion, I feel like I need to say is, I'll say it again at the end of this series. Your biggest regrets in life, by far, are going to be the things you said and the things you didn't say. Trust me on that. So bow your heads. As I was preaching, the Holy Spirit was dealing with you, dealing with your heart. And you say, yes, I recognize that I need to repent of that. I need to be a better listener. I need to listen with my heart. I need to develop humility. That's you. Raise your hand up and put it right back down. Yep, all over the place. This is me too. My hand is up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So you just repent with me. Just say it after me. I'm going to repent myself. Ready? Heavenly Father, I need Jesus. I declare, Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior. I receive comfort and conviction from your word, and I repent of my pride. Help me, Lord, to develop humility. Help me to listen, to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. So while we were praying, I just, I feel like the Holy Spirit said, someone here, and it might be more than one someone, I just heard him say, beware the plight of Samson. I feel like there are a few of you maybe that are just struggling with, you know, Samson, he was strong and he was called by God and he had a big plan, but he just kept dabbling. He just kept dabbling in sin. It was a little bit at first. He just started breaking the rules just a little bit. He dabbled in it. He dabbled. He dabbled in it. And then he dabbled a little more. And then a little more. And next thing you know, he was full in it. He was full in it and he thought he could take it. And he didn't even realize when his strength left him. Don't dabble in it. Stay out of it. Go on with God. Finish well. Amen? Let's praise God for that. Come on. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, stand up on your feet. Let me bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, making you look just like him, and give you peace.